Good morning. Good to be with you again, beloved. What a grand and a glorious event we have been singing about. It's the incarnation. God became a man, and he dwelt among us. We're saying that the story of Christmas is that God became a man. And he lived among us. John says he tabernacled among us. We're going to begin to read this morning from Luke's Gospel in chapter 1. Luke's Gospel in chapter 1. Let's just read from verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered in her mind what manner of greeting this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now several things are before us today concerning the coming of the Messiah. We find, first of all, now this event was first promised by God. Promised by God there in the Garden of Eden. He said to the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between her seed and thy seed. He shall bruise thy head, and he shall bruise his heel. Enmity. The seed of the woman. Then we find also it was prophesied by the servants of the Lord down through the ages. Isaiah, for instance, wrote and prophesied that a virgin shall conceive and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, we read in the New Testament, God with us. Pleased as man, we just sang, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us. Micah the prophet also prophesied concerning this event. Thou Bethlehem Ephrathah. He told us exactly where the Christ would be born. Though thou be little among the nations, yet out of thee shall he come forth that shall be ruler of my people. That prophet said some things about the Lord, and we want to clarify certain things because we have got translations that have mistranslated and have taken away from this glorious prophecy. He says, this one that shall come, his goings forth have been from eternity, from everlasting. We know the Lord Jesus, he moved among men in times past, prior to his incarnation. But it affirms here for us his deity. His goings forth have been from of old, from eternity, from everlasting. Don't get upset with me, but it's not from ancient times. You know, Job is from ancient times. Abraham is from ancient times. Jesus Christ is from all eternity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If your Bible says something else, don't get upset with me. He is not from ancient times. He's from everlasting. He's from everlasting. So we have it here, beloved. Certain things. First of all, promised by God, prophesied by his servants. And here we have it proclaimed by the angel Gabriel. He wasn't sent to the North Pole. That's not where it began. Sent to a city called Nazareth. Nazareth. To a virgin. Yes, she was young, but she was a virgin. These things are very important to my mind, beloved. We have to keep it straight. We have to understand that she was sent to a virgin, not just to a young lady or a young woman, but to a virgin. Means a lot. Means everything, as a matter of fact. So now that we have those things cleared up, hopefully, we have before us the humanity of our Lord. Also, we have his deity, all wrapped up in this message, this proclamation. His humanity, his deity. Also in this proclamation, we have his first advent and his second advent. All in one. This message proclaimed by the angel Gabriel. Let's just look at them then. First of all, his humanity. Verse 31. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now that's his human name. Jesus. Jehoshua. Jehovah saves. So here in this announcement, it tells us that the one to be born of the virgin was truly human. He was a real man. And we can see this as he was born, and you look at the things that were done to him during his early life. You see the humanity of our Lord. First of all, after 8 days, he was circumcised according to the law of Moses. They brought him to the temple to do for him after the custom of the law. He was real. That's all in chapter 2 of Luke. Circumcised to do for him after the custom of the law. Paul writes concerning the incarnation, concerning the humanity of our Lord, that God became man and dwelt among us. Paul says, when the fullness of the time was come, Galatians 4, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Why is it necessary to say that he was born of a woman? Aren't we all? Not really. In this instance, he was the seed of the woman. There was no male, no man involved. That's the difference. Conceived of the Holy Spirit, becoming man through the miraculous birth the Virgin gave to the blessed Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God affected that birth in the womb of the Virgin. And it tells us, it gives us exactly how it was done in another place, when the scripture says the birth of Jesus was in this way. And it goes on to explain how the Holy Spirit overshadowed the humanity of our Lord. You shall call his name Jesus. Was he really human? Yes, he was human. We read in the epistle to the Hebrews that he took part of flesh and blood. He likewise, like those of the human race, he took part of flesh and blood. He was not an angel, as some would have us believe. There in that same chapter 2 of Hebrews, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. He was a real man. John said in chapter 1, the Word, the eternal Word, was made flesh. He became human. And he tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld his glory. What glory did the disciples saw of the Lord? They saw the glory of the incarnation. They saw the moral glory of the Lord, full of grace and truth. They also saw his future glory, the glory of his kingdom here on earth, which we're going to get to. It was a mystery. It's a mystery. It was all the work of God. It's a mystery, and maybe we don't fully understand it, but it was a mystery. And Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God came down to, and he took on him the form of a servant. He became a real man. God was manifest in the flesh. justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the nations, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That's the work of God. That's the story of the incarnation. God came down. And Paul made it abundantly clear during his ministry as he spoke of the humanity of the Lord Jesus, because there were those who challenged him and challenged the line from which the Lord Jesus came. And he reminded, remember in Romans 1, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David, he was born of the seed of David, of the line of David. That's my gospel. That's the gospel that I preach. That's how he began his epistle to the Romans in chapter 1. Remember that Jesus was of the seed of the line of David. Was he real? A real man? Yes, he was. You remember Job? Job wanted to see a man. A man who can stand between God and men, the man who can bring us together. He said, oh, that God would give us a daysman that stand between us, bring us together. A daysman. Well, a daysman is a mediator. And Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. You shall call his name Jesus. Jesus. That's the name of his humanity. For he shall save his people from their sins. But that's not all the angel proclaimed. Verse 32 says, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Son of man, Son of God, his deity. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. This tells us that the babe that was born in Bethlehem's manger was God manifested in the flesh. Really man, truly man, and truly God. And the scriptures bear that out throughout the Old and the New Testament. For instance, when we turn to that familiar portion that we dwell upon at this time of the year, Isaiah in chapter 9 tells us exactly that he was truly man and truly God. It says, unto us a child is born. That's his humanity. A child. But unto us a son is given. That's his deity. The child began in Bethlehem, but the son was from all eternity. His goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. A son was given. John says in the epistle, that God sent forth his Son to be the Savior of the world. His deity. In Matthew in chapter 1, and we don't have the time to go into all this because you read this all the time. This is going to be read in your house and in the assembly time and time again this season. But that is great phenomenon The story of the incarnation, it says in Matthew chapter 1. All this happened that it might be fulfilled, which was written by the prophet. And that's Isaiah 7 and 14. That a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us, pleased as man with man to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. God came down, and he dwelt, or he tabernacled among us. He's a Savior. That's what we have in chapter 2 ready this morning. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. A Savior, Jesus, Christ. That's the Greek form of the Hebrew Messiah. Meaning that this one was anointed. Anointed. So the one who came to this earth was Christ anointed. He was prophet, he was priest, and he was king. All those were anointed, and he was all those in one. Christ, the Lord. Christ, the Lord. That's who he was. Deity, God in the flesh. His going forth have been from everlasting. And in Revelation chapter 1, we read, he was Alpha, verse 1, verse 8. He was Omega. He was the beginning. He was the end. The Almighty. His deity. The Almighty. Alpha, Omega, the beginning, the end, the Almighty. That's his deity. But we have something else to say, beloved, before... Oh, we have a little time, yes. We got plenty of time. I'm doing well with the clock today, because I'm not dwelling too long on these things. We have his humanity. We have his deity. We also have his supremacy. His supremacy. He is the final, ultimate authority. And that was part of the announcement. That was part of the proclamation by the angel. Read it with me. It's the latter part of 32, but we read all of it. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. His supremacy. The Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign. That's what we have also in Isaiah 9. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice and with righteousness, from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Our brother told us this morning, he read from the Davidic covenant. And what a promise. What a covenant that God made with his people. And here we have it again proclaimed, and he is not now sitting on that throne, beloved. When he came the first time, there was no throne. When he came the first time, there was no crown except a crown of thorns. So we must be looking then at his second advent, when all this will be fulfilled. The supremacy of our Lord. When he will reign supreme. And it tells us something about the kind of government that we're going to be under. No, we're not very happy with our government. But you know, this coming a government, this coming a ruler who is going to reign supreme, and the hallmarks of his government will be peace and righteousness. You look for that in your government today. For the first time here on this earth, a righteous government will be established. In our form of government, we have three different sections. I can't get the word that they use, but branches. Thank you. Three branches. Appreciate that. Of government. We have the legislature. We have the judicial, and we have the executive. Three branches of government. But under this government, under the government of our Lord Jesus Christ, there still will be three branches, but only one ruler. He's going to head the legislative, he's going to head the judicial, he's going to head the executive. Whew, where do you get that from? Isaiah, I got it from Isaiah 33. I got it. Yeah. Why would I say something that if I can prove it? He is going to head it. He's going to head all the branches of government. He is going to reign. There will be no divided government. There would be no gridlock. There would be no veto. There would be no... I don't like this word, but... There will be no putting it off. And I need help again, brother. No, that's not the word. When one person blocks everything and says, we're not going to do it. One side blocks it. Oh, boy, they don't come to... I get an old... Filibuster. Thank you, brother. There will be no filibuster because he is going to run all branches of government. Here it is in 22 of Isaiah 33. The Lord is our judge. That's the judicial branch. He's going to rule. The Lord is our lawgiver. That's the legislative. And he's going to rule. The Lord is our king. That's the executive. And he will save us. He will save us. No divided government. Because, you see, it's going to be a righteous government for the first time. I go back to chapter 2 of Isaiah. You're going to like this one, brother. Chapter 2 of Isaiah. And I say hallelujah every time I read this. Verse 11, every time I read this, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone, remember, he's in charge, he alone, the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. This refers to the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus. when he reigns supreme, the Lord alone. It says the same thing in verse 17. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. The Lord alone. No divided government. No. No corruption. No fraud. Righteousness, justice, and peace. And peace. The brothers reading this morning concerning the animals dwelling together. Peace. The song that we know, it says that there will be peace in the valley someday when he comes. When he comes to reign. The Lord promised, and we go back to the Davidic covenant. We're going to spend a lot of time because we heard a good bit on it this morning. But in his covenant, his promise to the Davidic family, he promised two things. A perpetual kingdom and a perpetual seed. When it comes to Solomon, the Lord promised a perpetual kingdom, not a perpetual seed. Because the Messiah will not come through Solomon. But legally the throne will be passed to our Lord through Joseph, who was a descendant of Solomon, not the seed. And so when we read of in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus, and all these ones were begotten of this man, and was begotten of this man, and was begotten of this man, when it comes to Jesus, he was the son of Mary. The son of Mary. And Mary was not of the line of Solomon. She was of the line of Nathan. That the meticulous accuracy of God's word. It is through that seed, the seed of the woman, that he shall reign, that he came into this world. And she came from the line of David. They try to tell us, well, back then when the Lord Jesus was here on earth, they challenged his genealogy. Oh, he can't be the Messiah. Because he came from Nazareth. He didn't come from Nazareth. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Yes, the Lord made it possible that Joseph and Mary can get to Bethlehem. Joseph had to go because he was of the seed and lineage of David. They had to get to Bethlehem. Because that's, Bethlehem Ephrathah. It is out of you that he shall come, who shall be ruler of my people. It is in Bethlehem. Born in Bethlehem. In the days of Herod the king. So you have his supremacy. He shall rule supreme over all the branches of government. And in chapter 32 and verse 1 it says, a king shall reign in righteousness. A king shall reign in righteousness. So, what we have? We have his humanity. We have his deity. Verse 32. We have his supremacy, 32, and then we have his continuity, or his perpetuity. Verse 33 says, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. I don't know about you, but whenever I hear the Hallelujah chorus, I get goosebumps, especially when it says,
And he shall reign forever and ever. Don't feel bad. I'm not going to sing. I'm just telling you what the words are. I know my limitations. Huh?
He shall reign. His continuity. He shall reign forever and ever. This is in fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. He guarantees this. There shall not fail a man to sit on your throne, on the throne of David. It's not happening now, but it will happen at his second advent when he returns. His kingdom is going to be a perpetual kingdom. This perpetual seed that God promised to David is going to continue, and his kingdom also will continue. You can read that in the genealogy in Matthew 1 and in Luke chapter 3. God promised David in 2 Samuel 7 that Israel is going to be a people unto thee forever. Forever. That's through the Messiah. That's through the Davidic line. Through Jesus Christ, who is going to reign forever and ever. When he comes back, beloved, he's going to establish his kingdom here. His righteous government shall be in force. And for the first time, you know, when Jesus came the first time, they rejected him and they said, away with this man, crucify him, we will not have this man to reign over us. That's what they said at his first advent. When he returns, beloved, in power and great glory, Israel, Jeremiah 23. It's going to be a different story. It's going to be a different welcome. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That was the first advent. But when Messiah returns, when he returns to reign in righteousness, in Jeremiah 23, verse 5 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute justice and righteousness in the earth. That's the government we're talking about. In his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. This tribulation will be gone and over. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. Jehovah, said Kenyu. That's the name he's going to be called. Israel. Oh, will they be glad to see him? Yes, they'll be glad to see him. Because he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Be glad to see him. And they're going to hail him. Jehovah said, can you, the Lord, our righteousness. That's how they're going to welcome him. But until then, God is doing a work. According to Acts chapter 15, God's purpose here and now, even as we speak, his purpose is to visit the nations and to take out of them a people for his name. We call that the church. Jesus says, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Right now, he is building the church. And this is James' response to those who wanted to make Jewish proselytes out of Gentile believers. Verse 14 of chapter 15 of Acts, and Simeon hath declared how God did first visit the nations to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophet as it is written, after this, when the church is completed, when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, after this, I will return and will build again the tabernacles of David which are fallen down. And I will build again its ruins, and I will set it up that the residue of men might seek the Lord. That's the Jewish people. And all the nations upon whom my name is called, that's the Gentile believers, said the Lord, who doeth all these things. That's the coming day when the Lord Jesus set up his kingdom. Oh, can't you hear it now? A song of triumph. What will the response be when he comes back to reign? Read Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Open them up, because he's going to take the title deed to this earth, and he's going to be the rightful king, and he's going to reign. He's going to reign. His millennial reign will be 1,000 years, but he shall reign forever and ever. He's going to restore that which is broken down. Daniel says in chapter 2, and we are winding it down, beloved, but I have 5 minutes. I really do. I'm not kidding. I do have 5 minutes. Daniel chapter 2. His perpetuity, his continuity. And in the days of these kings, this is the kings of the earth, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. We don't have time to go into the prophecy of this, but suffice it to say, that's when our Lord sets up his kingdom. All others, he's going to put down all power, all authority, and all rule. He's going to put them down. And what will happen? It tells us in Revelation 11 what will happen. I can say it, but I prefer you to read it. What's going to happen? Well, verse 15 says of chapter 11, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. He shall reign, his continuity of his kingdom and peace, there shall be no end. That's the message that Gabriel brought to the Virgin. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, El Gibor, the duration of the being of God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We were talking about him this morning in worship, the Prince of Peace, and of his kingdom. There shall be no end. His humanity, his deity, his supremacy and his continuity, all in this announcement by the angel Gabriel as he appeared to the Virgin Mary in that city called Nazareth. That's what we're going to celebrate. The Lord Jesus Christ. Because it involves his birth, his life, his death, burial, resurrection, his ascension, his return to reign forever. It's all in there. Good to be with you, beloved. Thanks for the time that you have given me to fellowship with you throughout this year. I hope you and your family have a wonderful, blessed Christmas, Christ-centered. Oh, because there's no other meaningful Christmas but Christ-centered. Have a blessed time and have a wonderful and a prosperous new year. And in the will of the Lord, sometime in the next year, in the will of the Lord, we get together again. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this time we spent together, time we spent around our blessed Redeemer, the Prince of Peace, the one who made peace for us through the blood of his cross and has given us a mind that is at peace with God, no longer at enmity, but peace with God. We thank thee for the incarnation. God became man and tabernacled among us. John says we beheld his glory. Oh, what an effulgence the effulgence of God's glory. We saw it, he said. Peter said we saw it and we heard the voice from the excellent glory. We give thee thanks for our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this earth that he might put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Thank thee for the time thou hast given us to look into thy word and to look again and see what thou hast said concerning thy Son, what thou hast said concerning his humanity, his deity, his supremacy, and his continuity. We know that he shall reign forever, and his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. We give thee thanks. Thank you for the saints. Thank you for their love and generosity and all their fellowship over the years. Watch over them and guide them and preserve and protect each family present and each family associated with this assembly. Watch over us now and part us with thy blessings resting upon us. Take us, Lord, to our respective homes at peace and in safety. And may the peace of Christ, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, garrison our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, we pray and give thanks in his precious name. Amen.